Hello, Doctor. This is your monthly research report. It's been a busy beginning of the new year here in 2016, so we may have missed January and maybe even February here. But I do want to continue on here, and I would like to look at some questions that I've received. And I think they cover several areas, so I want to just cover them by topics. And we shall do that. One common question that I get is, how do I explain neural organization technique to my patients and my fellow colleagues? And this is a complex question because it requires a good understanding and a background in functional neurology, applied kinesiology, etc. In the past, and many of you may choose to do this by demonstration, taking a patient, putting them on the table, and doing a bunch of different tests and kind of show and tell. And although this has a place, it is really not the best method to really get across the work of neural organization technique. It was popular years ago, but it does have its shortcomings, and I think it's much more, these days, much more appropriate to use scientific terminology and give an explanation that's using concepts that are well understood in other healthcare professions as well. So let's begin here. So first, we're going to look at what you may want to describe or discuss with your professional colleagues. And although we'll probably modify this from time to time, I would suggest that you emphasize the following points. Neural organization technique is a functional neurological methodology based in applied kinesiology, which utilizes muscle testing as one's functional neurological assessment tool. The primary theme of the work has to do with the primitive survival reflexes, in particular when these primitive survival reflexes are retained. And by that we mean that the primitive survival reflexes that are present in utero and newborn, which have not reached their full fruition. The primary primitive survival reflexes that this work, NOT, focuses on is the vestibular system. When we talk about the vestibular system, we're really talking about three components, the vestibular ocular, which you should be most familiar with, the vestibular spinal, and the vestibular cerebellum, or what we call the vestibular cerebellar loops. If you want to know more about this, an excellent source of that would be Dr. Richard Beller's work, and he wrote a paper in 2012 in the collected ICAK papers, and the title is Evaluation and Treatment of Dysfunctional Vestibulo-Ocular, Vestibulospinal, Vestibulocerebellar Loops. It's a long paper, but it has some excellent information. And again, this is in the collected papers of the ICAK. And another source is the collected papers of AK Neurology, also within ICAK. A third source would be a paper by Keith Keane in Australia, Dr. Keith Keane. He covers some specific home tests of primitive reflexes and looking at the retained neonatal reflexes. So they call them RNR, retained neonatal reflexes. And again, this is an excellent source explaining in a lot more detail, which we're not going to cover right now, of course. So I guess this is turning out to be a long-winded explanation. However, it is a complex topic. So getting back to our explanation here, the real key focus, as I seem to be emphasizing here, is the vestibular system. And that's what the real, how could you say it, the real discovery related specifically to what Dr. Furey made the foundation of this work is the vestibular system, and again its complications from retained neonatal reflexes. But looking at the vestibular system as it reflects into scoliosis in particular, its effect in language processing, but really in its initial presentation, how it causes a disturbance in gait. And essentially, we're looking at, is the body, its body position, in either lying or standing, is it actually in neutral, or is the body in a right or left step position? And here's where one can actually go through and give a visual or a practical demonstration using the pec major clavicular muscles and the posterior deltoid / lat muscles, an arm swing, and demonstrating that the body is neutral or it is not. And what he found is that a good percentage of the population, somewhere between 65 and 70%, does not, their body position orientation is not correct. It is in a step position, or there is issues with retained neonatal reflexes that causes this aberration. So one either has this or one does not. If one has it, one is then predisposed to getting scoliosis during puberty, and one will have some form, mild, moderate, or severe, some form of a language processing issue. Again, the opposite, if one does not have any vestibular ocular system reflexes related to the retained neonatal reflexes, in other words, there is no gait step position, one will not get the classic bending scoliosis relating to puberty. Again, this is the adolescent type scoliosis. There are other types. And one will not have a neurological, what I call a neurological learning disability. There will be, due to vestibular system imbalances, they may have emotional issues and other factors that affect neurology, but not the classic wiring that we look at as far as language processing within NOT. I guess moving on in our discussion here, we could also say that NOT recognizes that if the body is not in neutral, it's in some sort of active defense posture, or what we'll call fight flight of the body. And that's a main theme of the work, to neutralize that. That fight flight defense posture does not necessarily need to be activated by retained neonatal reflexes within the vestibular system. They can, the body will go into a fight-flight mode from any kind of injury to the central nervous system, especially the head and the spine and tailbone. And again, that's where a lot of our work is. So in the treatment protocol for this, if they do have the vestibular system aberration, it's a little more complex in going through and neutralizing that fight-flight activity level of the body. If they do not have a vestibular system, it's a whole lot easier. Of course, you don't have to go through the scoliosis routine, and there'll be less balancing in that vestibular ocular component. Okay, so this is getting a little too long-winded here, so let's go back to our summary. So in summary, we could say that neural organization technique is a functional neurological methodology that looks at the primal survival systems, in particular the vestibular system, as it relates to kind of the body position and motion of what we call the fight flight of the body. Is the body in neutral or not? Recognizing that when this system is engaged, it has to cause some aberration or retention compensation, let's say, within the endocrine system. The endocrine system is the hormonal non-electrical system of the body. And third, it's going to have some impact on the digestive system, because if you're fighting, you're not eating, kind of a simple concept. And so we look at the jaw of open and closing, biting and chewing as it relates to digestive function. And an additional system, it just recognizing that the body has limited energy supply, and if it's being drained by this fight-flight activity, it also has an inhibitory or a negative impact on our immune system. That pretty much covers it. So I wish you luck in summarizing that into maybe a 1 or 2 minute conversation. But now let's look at how do we explain this to a patient? That's, let's say, sitting or lying down on our table in a treatment room here. And for that, it is imperative that you start in a supine position and probably talk about the concept of the survival systems and describing them. One is the body's ability to stand, walk, move against gravity, and we'll call that the fight-flight system. Second is the digestive system. And third, of course, is the endocrine system. And fourth is the immune system. You may not want to emphasize those if you don't regularly address those. The simplest, of course, is to talk about the fight-flight system. And here we'll just say our focus is on the main neurological component in the central nervous system, the vestibular system, that looks at those four items of motion, position, perception, and sensation. And our focus, the focus is the body in neutral or is it in a step position and the ramifications of that. That relates very much to basically all your musculoskeletal issues and some cranial issues. However, one should have a clear understanding that this is not a rehabilitation technique. It is not really a pain control technique. It is not really for acute injuries. It's more for chronic conditions, chronic injuries that have not responded well to other practitioners' care or is lingering on much too long. In other words, this work is extremely effective in facilitating other care for musculoskeletal injuries. If you are using this work to treat any and all musculoskeletal injuries and acute injuries, recognize that this work is really cleaning up the neurology behind any injury. It is really not looking at muscle tears and ligaments and tendons that are injured. It certainly will facilitate their healing. However, it is prudent that you either incorporate other methodologies or utilize the services of other colleagues. That pretty much covers that question, and we'll see you next time. Again, please feel free to send me questions by email. I guess email is probably the best way. Directly through the website, or email me directly at drcorwin@sbcglobal.net, Corwin, Corwin, @sbcglobal.net. Thank you.